In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Jeremy Pruitt making decisions, and I mean plural, a lot of them. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. I hope everybody had a glorious weekend. And if you did not see the news, and there's a pile of it, like a number 10 washtub just spilling over with announcements coming out of Rocky Top. And this would have actually been, I think it became official late Friday. And we mentioned it a little bit. Derek Ansley is the new defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, I actually got a note from a Tennessee fan that I don't know this person. Just somebody tweeted me at KingCFB. Go to Twitter right now, KingCFB. Tweeted me like maybe last Tuesday or so and said, hey, when are you going to talk about Derek Ansley being the new defensive coordinator in Knoxville? I was like, okay, I'll talk about it when it happens. Well, it became official, and we knew that he was going to be added to the staff, but there's a weird dynamic that Jeremy Pruitt has set up. Now, I'm going to go through this in just a second, but I will say the bottom line is what fair salary for, I mean, truly, the 10th assistant coach, $350,000 at a place like Tennessee. I got to pick a new school. Dan, find a new bottom rung because I always pick on UT San Antonio. So whoever Dan – San Jose State?
Sure.
All right. If you're the last assistant on, and I'm going to say the bottom rung only because, I mean, truly, we didn't have 10 assistants until a year ago. If you're that last guy that San Jose State added, it's still a $100,000 job. It's still a $100,000 a year job. Now, have you ever been to San Jose? I have. I'm going to pick a place we're in right now. We're in Huntsville, Alabama. Every single day. Love the folks up there in Huntsville. If you have lived in Huntsville, Alabama for the majority of your life and somehow you were able to Star Trek yourself over to San Jose and just, there you go, you would be hyperventilating at the cost of living out there. But if you are $100,000 in Huntsville, Alabama, all right, I can make this work. I get a new F-150 every year. $100,000 in San Jose, California, you got a roommate. And you probably got a microwave you use quite a bit. So that's San Jose. $100,000 a year, though. But Tennessee, Southeastern Conference, SEC Network, all of that, $350,000. That's still a good living. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there might be an individual or two who thought he was a few steps up that ladder, and then he looks around and he's like, wait a minute, after all these announcements, I'm actually on that last step before you're even off the ladder. Tennessee has not only spent a lot of money, but Jeremy Pruitt himself has basically just, it's kind of like a colander, and he put all the coaches in and just kind of shook it around a little bit. And what we have now is Derek Ansley leaving the NFL as the new DC. If you don't know his past, he mostly for Southern football fans, you may remember him from coaching for Nick Saban for the 2 years in 16 and 17. And that's obviously the relationship that Jeremy Pruitt has. Jeremy Pruitt was the DC. Derek Ansley was the defensive backs coach. Now we have that same hierarchy set up, except they both bumped up two pretty significant steps. I think it was Lyndon Johnson that way back in the day was asked, what's the difference between a state rep and a senator? He says, being in the House of Representatives or being a state senator. And he said the difference between chicken salad and you can fill in the blanks. It's not quite that extreme, but if you're coaching the secondary and all of a sudden you're the coordinator at a place like Tennessee, bully for you. Even if you're a coordinator at a place like Alabama, which is the place to be a coordinator, head coach at Tennessee, way better, and you know it. And so you have that same hierarchy set up, except they both just gone one step up the ladder. Big step, but still just one step. So they had the relationship. Derek Ansley, again, I don't know what options he had because he's got a reputation as a good recruiter. But I also, and I'm just telling you my understanding, and right now, if Derek, we're on up there. If you, Derek Ansley, if you're listening and you want to dispute this, feel free. I'm all ears. I'll put you right on the air. You'll go to the front of the line. My understanding is that Nick Saban said the same speech that he gave Tosh LePoy. Hey, why don't you go fill out your resume a little bit? It is a rare occurrence when Nick Saban, despite what a lot of folks who are fans of other teams other than Alabama think, you know, he still does operate by that, that there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And so the general understanding about what he told Tosh LePoy, his defensive coordinator from Miami, not even position coach, D.C. Tosh, this might have been a little much for you, and that's on me. I put you in the position of having to do a job you weren't ready for. So why don't we get you ready for it? Even though, now this is Chuck speaking again, not Coach Saban. Even though the number one thing that Tosh does better than anything else is recruit, and you don't do that in the NFL. Go to the NFL, Tosh, it'll only be for a couple of years, I promise. Now, he gave him that talk about a month ago. Go to the NFL for a couple of years in a tangible way. Do you know what's going to happen with Tosh LePoy coaching for Cleveland? He's going to get better as a coach. In college, even out of play, this is always, in, if you've ever heard a coach say this, maybe you didn't pay enough attention, I'm going to tell you the essence of what a coach wants from his players. It comes down to one sentence. I want to coach, not teach. Even at a place like Alabama, there are players who show up and they're unbelievably skilled, but they may be raw and they may have come from a high school environment. And I don't know if it was somebody like Jadeveon Clowney in high school. He didn't have to play technique. He could just show up and, hey, what defense are we in? We're in the it's a high school game and we have Jadeveon Clowney defense. That's the defense we're running today. I did a game with Jadeveon Clowney, one of those, you know, was it preseason or I guess week one kickoff games where they bring in four teams from different parts of America. And so I got to do it, and he was out there playing with children. Same thing with Marcus Lattimore. Robert Kimdichie, when he was playing at a place called, what were Lattimore and Clowney, were they both Burns? Is that right? I know Lattimore was.
Clowney's from Rock Hill.
Okay, you're right, you're right. So... but Kimdichie from Grayson High School, about, I don't know, hour north of Atlanta, as a sophomore, he didn't have to play technique. What defense are we in? We're in the Robert Kimdichie plays for us defense. Okay. I like that defense. So you don't have to play technique. So even a guy like Robert Kimdichie, he could show up at Ole Miss. It was a good program in the SEC. Hey, Robert, we're going to do XYZ. Yeah, I've never heard of that stuff. What was it? Nick Saban at Media Days this past past summer. I was asking him something about Najee Harris. And I think it was Najee Harris. And he started telling a story about Derrick Henry. Do you remember this? He said, Derrick Henry shows up, and he was coming out of Florida as maybe the number one running back in America. I thought Derrick Henry was going to get switched outside linebacker. I thought he was going to be Courtney Upshaw. I was wrong. So Derrick Henry shows up, and you remember – His senior year, do you remember the debate in Florida? Who's the best running back, Derrick Henry or Kelvin Taylor? It was Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry shows up in Tuscaloosa, and by the way, this is Saban telling the story. He says, I'm looking at this kid. He's a five-star recruit, number one running back in America, and I'm thinking, all he does is run with the football. That's all he can do. His entire skill set is handing the ball, and then he'll gain 6 yards. Now, heck of a skill to have. You know, Jadeveon Clowney for a one-trick pony. All he does is sack quarterbacks. I'll take it. Gimme. Give me five guys who all they do is sack quarterbacks. But Nick Saban said that after, you know, a couple of weeks of fall camp, I'm looking at Derrick Henry, and I'm saying, what are you doing? This is the SEC. You got to raise your game. Why didn't you pick up that block? Why didn't you catch that pass? So Derrick Henry turned a true freshman. Looked at him and said, Coach, I've never had to do this stuff before. He says, what do you mean you never had to do it? He's like, in high school, they would just hand me the football and I would kind of go towards the hole unless I saw something different and I would choose to go another way. And I would average about 9 yards a carry. He said, I never had to block and I never had to catch the football. If you'll teach me, then I can do it. So you do have studs. Like future first-round picks, and they show up and they got no idea what they're doing. Actually, if you want an extreme case, I was talking to a buddy of mine that was doing play-by-play. I was going to say color. Doing play-by-play for one of the high school all-star games. And he said that whatever the coach that was running one of the All-Star teams, all right, everybody get in the huddle. And he said he had 11 guys looking at him like, what? Huddle? Huddle up? Nobody had ever huddled. The offense in this All-Star game, not one kid had ever been in a huddle. So you have no idea when you bring kids together from different parts of what their experience is. And so Tosh Lapoy was told, go to Cleveland, you will become a better coach, and then after a couple of years, you can come back. All right, let's return to the beginning of this conversation. What did I just tell you about Derek Ansley this time in the NFL? How long he'd been there? A couple of years. Why did he go to the NFL? Because Nick Saban looked at him and said, you're a good coach now. If you go to the NFL, you'll be even better. Yeah, but you don't recruit in the NFL. I understand that. And Tosh, the same thing I told Derek 2 years ago, is if you'll go to the league, you'll come back and you'll be an even better coach and you will slide right back into it. Right back into it. Derek Ansley, he ain't sliding right back into it. He got a promotion. He went from coaching secondary at Alabama to now I'm a defensive coordinator in the SEC. 3-year contract guaranteed, $1 million annually. Remember that Tennessee was able to cast its line and reel in Jim Chaney from Georgia. He's going to get $1.5 million for each of the next 2 years, and then $1.7 in 2021. High cotton, brother. It's the first time ever that Tennessee has paid both of their coordinators $1 million or more. Do you know why they have to do that? Because their head coach is defensive-minded. When you have an offensive-minded head coach, you never have two $1 million coordinators. When you have an offensive-minded head coach, he runs the offense. When Hugh Freeze was at Ole Miss, Gus Malzahn at Auburn, Dan Mullen in Gainesville, you don't bring in an OC and pay him $1.5 million. If you have a defensive-minded head coach, almost always you do that, which is another reason that the trend is let's go all out for the young, hot, offensive-minded assistant. We'll fill out the other side. We'll go way over budget for the defensive coordinator, but we kind of get to go on the cheap, don't we? And so that's the situation Tennessee's in. They have Pruitt called the plays last year. Kevin Shearer, he was the defensive coordinator, and I'm not going to devalue him, but you got a head coach calling the defensive signals, and the first chance he gets, he replaces you. So that kind of tells you, who was determining things last year. Shearer remains at Tennessee. He's going to coach special teams and inside linebackers. Chris Winkie was running backs coach. He's now going to be the quarterbacks coach. That makes sense. David Johnson's going to coach running backs after working with receivers. He also brought T. Martin in, and he's going to handle the receivers. Remember, and this is just typical. Now that we have some determination about who's coaching where, I can kind of evaluate that coaching staff. But T. Martin's a perfect example. He was hired last month, and Jeremy Pruitt says, yeah, we don't know what he's going to coach, but we'll get around to that. Well, now it's the middle of February, and they've gotten around to it. 5-7. Not good enough at Rocky Top, and it shouldn't be. So that's why we got the fruit basket turnover with the coaching staff.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me.
We are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Dan Matthews is going to be popping in here in just a couple of minutes. He's our executive producer, show contributor, co-host, all of that stuff. You know him, Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com, coming up bottom of the hour. We got stuff to talk about coming out of Athens. Also in hour two, Rodney Orr, Brent Hubbs, guest you know coming on. We're going to be talking Auburn and Ole Miss and Alabama and Tennessee and all of it in hour two as well. I do want to mention one thing quickly. I think Greedy Williams is actually going to wind up being a big winner between now and the NFL draft. And there's a chance he was going to be the first overall corner taken, not first overall pick. I dare say there's never been a corner taken first overall. Where did Deion go? Third? I think Deion was third overall. It's rare you get a receiver. Keyshawn Johnson went first of all overall. Irving Fryer, way back in the day, played at Nebraska. I don't know. I have a focus group of one. David's 25 years old. Do you know who Irving Fryer is?
Not a clue.
That's okay. Do you know who Keyshawn Johnson is?
Yes, that name sounds familiar.
All right, I shudder to do this, but I'm going to stop talking. Actually, I'm not going to, because last time I did this, I asked an intern. This is about 5 years ago. I asked an intern, "Hey, you know who Steve Young is?" "Yeah, I know who Steve Young is." I was like, "Great, somebody who has taken a minute to learn some history of the NFL and maybe even college back when Steve Young was a Heisman finalist at BYU. Yes, how do you know Steve Young? Is it the Niners? Is it Tampa? Is it the USFL? Is it BYU?" Our intern, 19-year-old guy named Philip, looked at me and was like, "Well, he's a guy from Monday Night Countdown." Tear to my eye. So, Keyshawn Johnson is not from Monday Night Football crew. Wasn't he on ESPN back in the day, Dan?
Oh, he still is.
Okay, he still is. See, nobody watches studio shows, not like we used to, but you don't take corners, you don't take wide receivers first overall, rarely. But Greedy Williams, there's competition now. like DeAndre Baker, you're starting to see news is like a little piece of toast. It keeps like popping up and then it'll disappear. That maybe DeAndre Baker is going to go first among corners. The kid from Washington, Trayvon Mullen from Clemson. All of a sudden, you're looking at four or five corners. The projections are at least five corners in the first round, which means the competition among them, there's actually going to be more interest, because if there was no interest in corners, then it's a buyer's market. When all of a sudden there's going to be a run, it's going to be a seller's market. I think greedy's actually going to elevate. Dan, how are you today?
You know, I want to expand upon what you just talked about, where instead of coaches going to the pro level, in this case, they're going to the Saban School of Rehabilitate Your Image. But in this case now, are we aware that there is a similar school being opened in Austin, Texas, that Tom Herman is now doing this
exact
same thing?
Oh, we got Ellis Island out there?
Yes. So remember, too, he had the whole thing with David Beatty helping them out before the Big 12 championship game. People said, oh, that's not right. He says, show me the rules where it's not right. Larry Fedora is now an analyst on that staff at University of Texas. And Larry's crime right now is Larry stuck his foot in his mouth. And then he went out and had a bad football season. So then the school said, optics are bad. The program is not progressing. We're going to go ahead and move on from Larry the Hat.
If you don't
remember, he's going to go to Austin and rehabilitate his image and probably be back calling plays in a couple of years.
ACC Media Days, Larry said that football is under assault from... Did he actually label left-wing or liberals?
I don't think he went that far, but I think he just said it's under attack.
Yeah, and it was about hitting and targeting and all that stuff. See, that's unbelievable. Larry Fedora, to me, is as good an offensive mind. Now, it didn't always manifest itself when he was a head coach in the way he wanted, but he's as good an offensive mind as you'll find anywhere in America. I love his system. It's a lot of side-to-side, but it always equals yards and then points. That is a major, major coup for Tom Herman.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannara.com.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope. That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us. In fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Steve?
David.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Just getting started on a Monday. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Let's hop out to the phones right now. A guy we always love getting updates from Athens, Georgia, the managing editor for UGASports.com. And I'm going to call him a good friend of mine and the program. It is Anthony Dasher. Anthony, welcome back. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Chuck. Doing well, buddy.
Georgia football and Kirby have just announced that Super Bowl champion head coach Doug Peterson is going to be one of the speakers at their coaches' clinic in March.
Yeah.
That just goes along with, honestly, everything that's going on in Athens right now. You know, ultimately, it's about taking home a national championship. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the comments from Bill Belichick during Super Bowl week, the caliber of coaches that show up for Georgia's Pro Day, and then with the head coaches that are willing to show up and conduct a coaches clinic on campus, it doesn't matter where he's reaching out right now, whether it's high school kids, players, whatever it is, Kirby's got those tentacles everywhere.
I tell you, a lot of what he touched is turning into gold right now. And I tell you what, that little blurb that Bill Belichick gave him, man, that's a recruiting gold mine right there to have somebody of that caliber, you know, say that publicly like he did. And I'm sure they've got that, saved up and probably won't pop that out there every year. You'll see them tweeting that little message out when it comes to recruiting.
I also want you to kind of dispel something that fans and media, we all just kind of spew out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, everybody's got great facilities. I work with two former Georgia quarterbacks. One is Hudson Mason. One is Buck Ballew.
Sure.
Buck's last season was 81. Hudson's last season was 2014. They told me that they changed in the same locker room. Georgia, no, everybody didn't have great facilities, but there's been progress, and the money's committed, and the work's getting done. What's the update on the facilities there?
Well, you know, they had a teleconference this morning. Greg McGarry and the facilities, I guess, management team they've got at UGA, just to kind of give an update. Wednesday they have a board meeting where they're going to give an update on the architectural engineering selection process. So he's going to kind of take control for the new renovation / whatever you want to call put a new football facility they're planning on building, which honestly, if you look at the landscape now, it's something that they still need. I mean, Georgia's weight room facility, for example, I believe it's like at 12,000 feet, 12,000 square feet, and that's much smaller. And you find at Clemson much smaller than you find at Alabama. So they're working toward getting that new football facility in place. So we'll also give a new practice locker rooms and football office meeting spaces, just to kind of get the programs facilities back where they probably really need to be, because as you know, it's every year it's something schools are adding something different, and you've got to do whatever possible to attract the top kids, and Georgia does seem to have made the commitment to do that. It's just that they're a little behind as far as getting stuff up and running.
And I want you to provide a little insight. If somebody's thinking, well, Georgia's always had money, why are their facilities lagging behind? You have to have the willingness to spend, and I know with some Georgia fans that's been a burr under the saddle. But I want to take a different tack to this, Anthony. I think the first time I went to Athens maybe I was a second grader and started going to games there when I was in middle school. And so everybody's been to Athens 1,000 times, especially a guy like you who covers the program. Explain to people – how there really ain't no land around the University of Georgia, around that campus that, I mean, you may as well drop the college campus in downtown San Francisco, given how rare open patch of grass is.
You talk about a landlocked university, and I've been to the campus all over, all over the SEC in Georgia. I think maybe the worst as far as that kind of deal goes. And when they talk about possibly building a new football facility, they're talking about actually, at least what I've heard anyway, sliding right by the indoor practice deal they've got going on right now. Actually, taking up one of the size football fields to put it, because really there's nowhere to put the thing unless you're going to, I mean, they're not going to do this, tear up Foley Field, move it over there, or tear up the track, or that's something else they're not going to do. But, they're really pretty strict on where they're able to put any kind of building right now. And they're very fortunate they're able to, I think, to really do this, because there's just not any room. There's not room for Phillies to grow at Georgia, like they're going to need to continue to do.
If we look at more tangible, immediate situations with the football team, I don't want to say this incorrectly, but Anthony, I want to say it was announced that Dan Lanning was going to be the defensive coordinator going forward, but it wasn't really announced, was it?
No, it was done through an open records request, which is the first time. I've been doing this a lot for, 32 years now. This is the first time I've ever, come across a situation where a head coach, or a coach of promotion, rather, was released in such a way. And it's a little unusual, no skin off my teeth. I mean, it's my job to cover the decision however he wants to see fit. My only qualm, I guess he's going to call it that, was the false narrative that perhaps it created by not announcing Coach Lanning's promotion like they did with James Culley, with the two assistant coaches, even offensive analyst, Sean Watson. They announced through email, and it was just a little odd that they would decide to do it this way, because again, I know what Kirby Smart is very big on controlling the message. So why would you want to a false narrative out there that other schools perhaps could use against you in recruiting? I'm not saying it will, but I've seen weird things happen when it comes to kind of negative recruiting. And why couldn't another school come up and say, well, hey, they didn't want to announce this guy as a defensive coordinator? If you're talking to a kid that maybe is coming to Georgia and play for Dan Lanning, so why would you want – you might want to be careful about that, because he didn't come out and announce it publicly. So just stuff like that. I mean, that may be just me overthinking the entire situation, but it just seemed odd for somebody who wants to control the message like that, not to get his version out and say something positive about Dan Lanning, which, in my opinion, I think he's going to do a fine job. But, just didn't see the reason to make the announcement like they normally do.
Wrapping up with Anthony Dasher, get him on Twitter at AnthonyDasher1. You can get him every single day at UGASports.com. The George Pickens signing, I think that was the last kid added to the recruiting class. By your projections, fans, we freak out if, there's going to be 87 kids on scholarship. I've said the one thing I can promise you is no team will ever have 87 kids on scholarship, because it's not allowed.
No.
The numbers always work themselves out. Where is Georgia right now? And the reason I'm asking, is there one scholarship left out there for maybe a grad transfer quarterback, just somebody to kind of be there?
Right now, there's not. I mean, if my math is right, and I wasn't a math major, but still, with my belief is that Georgia is 85 as we speak right now. That's going to be an addition of Lawrence Cager, the wide receiver from Miami, who's joining the program. We'll get to school in May. So right now, there's none. But again, spring practice hasn't started yet. Invariably, you're going to have some kind of attrition happen after that. It always seems to be the case. So if they really wanted to add a grad transfer quarterback, which is difficult to do because most of those guys want to play.
Yeah.
Something could still happen, but right now, they're right at 85.
The George Pickens recruitment, I'm sure you heard or read the same things that I did. As soon as it was announced that he was going to sign with Georgia, I heard from a bunch of Auburn fans, we don't want him anyway, he's not going to make his grades. And I was like, all right, you did want him. Don't stop saying that. But I don't have any clue whether the kid's going to be eligible or not. And so you always operate on, let's get every 5-star we can committed, and then I'll worry about the grades in June. Have you heard anything on that front? More likely or less likely?
Same rumors. My take is if Coach Murphy, if he did or does whatever the case may be, of any kind of issue, getting admitted to the school, I don't think Coach Murphy would have taken a chance of signing. That's just my take. Now, maybe it comes in May, we start may hear some more things about that, and maybe he does go junior college. I don't know. But it just seemed to me, if Coach Mark was concerned about that, concerned that he wouldn't be able to get into school, they would have tried to get somebody else to fill that role, fill that scholarship.
Yeah, and I got one more question for you, but I would like to just interject here for anybody who's thinking, oh, yes, this is terrible, you're talking about a kid, maybe he's not smart. But that's not always the case, and Georgia's got a running back like Brian Herrien, who basically he'll – see, Brian Herrien will tell you, for the first 2 years in high school, I barely showed up, and then my junior and senior year I had to make straight A's. So it wasn't an intelligence thing. That's always that's not always the case that we assume it is.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, you know, Pickens is actually a very, very smart kid. He's just, you know, again, and we don't know the details as hard. I'm not going to sit here and say one way or the other, but yeah, I've seen a ton of kids who were, you know, smart and everything, just didn't do well in tests for whatever reason. I mean, I wasn't a Harvard grad by any stretch of imagination for my SAT wasn't the best in the world either when I was trying to get back in school, you know, a long time ago. So I don't really place anything, you know, on a kid's smarts if he can't automatically, you know, qualify to get into a college.
And, you know, the guy I want to ask you about, and if I get the kid wrong, I'm trying to remember, was Devonta Wyatt a big defensive lineman signee with Georgia who then had to go JUCO maybe for a year? And he came back, right? Yeah, so Kirby has a little bit of a resume.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, Devonta came back, was a member of the team last year, and played an important role for him late in the season. And actually, I project him this year to be one of the better defensive linemen. I think he'll still make a really big step up. So, yeah, Coach Smart has a reputation. We're getting these things to work out with these kind of kids. So, I mean, I'm sure he feels he can do the same thing with, you know, Pickens.
Last thing for you, and you mentioned the defensive line there with maybe Wyatt being one of the emerging players. I know that that is an area that Georgia fans look at and go, we're squared away just about everywhere else. What about the depth? And I'll say, well, what about the starters on the defensive line? Because, you know, if you run a three-man front, you have six starters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, no question about that. And you know, there are a little bit of, I think, depth concerns. But, you know, they do have some guys back with Jordan Davis. I think he'd really become a really special player for them on the defensive front. Kid really surprised me last year in taking the steps that he did. They still got Tyler Clark. Still got Julian Rochester. Yep. You know, Malik Herrien did a good job at defensive end. They've got some other young guys. I mentioned Wyatt a while ago. So they got a couple of freshmen. You know, Trayvon Walker coming in, I think, can help him pretty quickly. So they got some bodies now, but that is definitely a position. They've really kind of hit hard with recruiting. It's 2020 class, kind of like they did with the inside backers this past year. And I know that's something they want, if they can anyway, to sign four or five of those defensive line kids for this next class.
Anthony, I always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right, Anthony Dasher from UGA Sports.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7.
Call 800-674-9903. 800-674-9903. 800-674-9903.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Appreciate Anthony Dasher joining us from UGASports.com, talking obviously Georgia football and so much going on around that program right now. And I wasn't kidding about the facilities up there. That is just that blanket statement that we all make. Everybody's got great facilities. No, everybody has money. Everybody in the SEC has money. They have that, you know, one for all for one sort of mentality. It was actually one of the big reasons, if you think back, you know, Missouri, I think, was a – in fact, this is fair to say. They actually are a much better example of Rutgers. You know, Rutgers has looked around. I promise you, whoever's repping Rutgers at Big Ten meetings, like, who would go? Is it the AD? Is it the school president? I don't know. Do you – big-time athletics, don't you kind of sell that spot? If you want to represent Maryland at the Big Ten meetings, then, you know, whatever. So Rutgers is in the Big Ten. I promise you, whoever's repping them looks around going, they really let us in? Missouri has had some of those moments, I promise you. And they've actually won something since joining the SEC. They won the East twice. But we know where they fit. And it's they're dating up, okay? They're the kind of dumpy, balding guy that is between jobs, and somehow he's still dating the SI swimsuit model. That's Missouri. Missouri's kind of dumpy, a little balding. The SEC is SI swimsuit model. So we know Missouri got in. But when you look at the other programs in the Big 12 that left, Nebraska was in the Big 12. Do you know part of why they left? Texas A&M was not only in the Big 12, they were considered vital. Now, nobody would ever want to make Texas A&M think that they were important. Not in that conference's hierarchy. But they were vital to what was going on. And I'm talking like reputation. I'm talking about on-field product. I'm talking about bowl tie-ins, all of that stuff. And they left the Big 12 as well. Why? Well, you know, better invite. But if you look back when those invitations were being sent out, we always have the wrong sort of measuring sticks for programs. And when we want to talk about conference expansion and realignment, we always want to say that because the SEC in this case is the best conference, then when they expand, they're going to bring in Oklahoma and Clemson. Okay, yes, those would be two great programs, and you would have more marquee games, and there's a chance maybe you get all four teams that'll be in the playoffs. In fact, if you go back a year ago, you would have had all four teams in the playoffs. But beyond quality of play, which, Lord knows, it should have its place, beyond quality of play, why would the SEC ever look to Clemson and Oklahoma? Why would you put those two programs in there? You know what you would do? You would bring in Clemson and Southern Miss. Or you'd bring in Southern Miss and Oklahoma. Or you bring in Oklahoma and Memphis. Or Memphis and Oklahoma State. You wouldn't bring in two like that. Which is why you brought in Texas A&M. And have we caught on to this? It's why you brought in Texas A&M and Missouri. It's why you would bring in Nebraska and Maryland. You don't want to just, you don't want to bring in two teams that go undefeated. So anyway, I appreciate Anthony Dasher coming on, talking UGA and all of their coaching decisions that they've done, the upgrade in facilities, which nobody would ever believe at a place like Georgia that you didn't have facilities. Now, again, everybody has money, but it's the willingness to spend money, and it is the ability at a place like Vanderbilt, for instance. You're in downtown Nashville, which is one of the – I mean, it is an exploding city. Like Charlotte back in the 90s, this happened there. Late 80s and 90s as well. It's happening down like the Florida Gulf Coast right now. There are a couple of different places where all of a sudden there's like Major League Baseball. Everybody has pretty much abandoned Orlando, right? The Kissimmee, Vieira, all of those teams are gone. The Astros were in Kissimmee. They're now down in West Palm. The Nats were in Vieira. They've left. I talked about this the other day. The Tigers were in Lakeland. And everybody's getting like brand new facilities over on the Gulf Coast. Well, same sort of thing can happen in a major city, just kind of on its own. And that's Nashville. So Vanderbilt's got money. They got nowhere to spend it. You could be in a state capital. The South Carolina Gamecocks, they got nothing but land. They got all kinds of space around that stadium. And when you cross the street where the practice field, at least where it used to be, and all of that stuff's been shifted and moved around, even the Bojangles got moved. The state fair, like right across the street. So you've got plenty of room. But then there are places you just don't. And so when, again, that familiar refrain from a fan, oh, everybody's got great facilities. No, everybody has the money to build them if they choose and if they're able. So being an economy of the land around the Athens area is one of the problems. And, of course, what I referred to when we were talking with Anthony about the fan base, Greg McGarrity, the AD up there, I don't know if it's a reputation or an earned reputation, but I know that, you know, like a couple of years ago, the numbers were $120 million in the reserve fund at Georgia, for Georgia Athletics, $120 million in the reserve fund, and they had like $60 million in outstanding debt. And you're thinking, well, stroke a check, man, be debt-free before you go to dinner tonight. And so the way that that's been run has been particularly an unpleasant topic for Georgia fans. But now that they have loosened some of the purse strings, as well as initiating a lot more fundraising efforts so that they don't have to necessarily dive into that reserve fund, that just presented the next problem is, okay, now go find some land. Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Monday, and I think we're staring at one major fail of the Oklahoma program, and Lincoln Riley needs to address this, like, now. Can anyone tell me why a quarterback is squatting darn near 600 pounds? Did we see this come out over the weekend? Did you see this video? Jalen Hurts, he's a quarterback. Dan, Jalen Hurts still going to be a quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see this video?
Oh, yeah.
He's squatting 585 pounds. Now, God knows, I never played at Alabama or Oklahoma. I never played anywhere close to that level. I was an offensive tackle. 585 pounds?
Well, he also was a competitive power lifter in high school.
Okay, now he's a college quarterback at Oklahoma. He's more likely to snap his wrist or, and I mean literally, like pop something in his lower back than he is to actually gain a benefit on any one play this season from whatever strength he has that squatting 600 pounds gives you. I would go as far as to say this is irresponsible. And I bet you won't see it publicized again. Now, it shouldn't happen again. There is no application for my quarterback being able to squat 600 pounds. Dan, you have a look of disbelief or disagreement, or are you on board with this?
Speak up, brother. Think if he can do it, I mean, I think, you know, we've been led to believe he's a responsible guy that
sure
doesn't do things just on a whim.
Most often he doesn't. He's still 21 or 22, and he's still a college kid. And I was a straight-A college student. I was fraternity president. I was the one who was responsible in the house.
But you also okayed Ivan.
And I drove an IROC Z28, and I had a mullet. All right, I had an airbrush tag on the car that I paid good money to get. Pineapple Willie's, Panama City. So when we're 19 or 20, we can be the square. We can be the smart one. We can be the responsible, the fine, upstanding one. Sometimes the adults in the room have to look like the adults in the room. And I don't know anything about their strength and conditioning program. I will say that Jalen Hurts didn't suddenly bump his squat from 400 to, because the number was actually 585, right? Okay. He didn't suddenly go from 400 to 585 in the month he's been on campus in Norman. He was doing this back at Alabama as well, which means Scott Cochran was allowing it. You know the phrase, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it. So either Scott Cochran was looking at him going, more, which I don't think happened, or it was, well, he's Jalen, so we'll let him do it. I remember seeing it, and I don't know if anybody else listening right now, feel free to tweet me if you remember this. It was pregame. Oh, Lord, this would have been during the 11 season, I think. It was a pregame feature about Trent Richardson. And he was talking, I think he was talking about he squatted 600 pounds. And the strength and conditioning coach said, you can't do that anymore. I'm not going to allow you to, like, they literally, I think it was Trent Richardson. It wasn't Derrick Henry. I think it was Trent Richardson. They said, we're going to have to back you off of this amount of weight. Trent Richardson was a running back. Now, he never had a lot of wiggle to him. And he was about lower body explosion and just, I mean, literally exploding up through the tight. So we know what Trent's game was. But he also was a running back. And he went on the record. And as I'm recalling, Scott Cochran, there was a quote from him as well. Oh, yeah, that's dangerous. We're not going to let him do that anymore. Again, you can't rely on a college kid to always make his own decisions, because you know what a college kid decides sometimes? We eliminate the fact that, for instance, we're paying $15,000 a semester to go to this school, and we figure, I'll blow it off because I want to watch Drew Carey on Price is Right the next hour. That's what a college kid will do, which is why we always need to rely on the adults in the room, which in this case is Lincoln Riley.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.
The gospel of Christ is about Jesus dying on the cross for us and rising again. It's Jesus taking upon himself the guilt and shame of our sins and offering us the free gift of forgiveness and an eternal relationship with God. In other words, it's peace, assurance, love, and acceptance that we can never earn or deserve. In a world full of incredibly bad news, the gospel is good news, and that gives us hope. But it's not enough to simply know the story of Jesus. It calls for a decision. If you're standing at a crossroad, Jesus' way or your way, choose Jesus, for no matter what kind of suffering you're facing, there is hope. Because he is risen, and that makes all the difference. No matter how circumstances unfold, Jesus is victorious. Jesus will walk you through all of life's ups and downs. Believe in his resurrection power today. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Visit rightfromtheheart.org and click Devotions to read the daily devotion and send to a friend.